shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Amen. So the church at Colossae was founded by Epaphras, who was a man who studied under the Apostle Paul for 3 years in Ephesus. He went to Paul's Bible seminary, and then he went on to Colossae, which is about 100 miles away from Ephesus, and there he planted a church. So Paul himself never had visited this church, but this was the result of a disciple of his, somebody whom he raised up in the faith. And according to the verses that we covered last week, we discovered that the Colossians believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They had received the message of the gospel of grace, and they were bearing fruit. And whenever people bear fruit, that has to do with the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which means they were maturing as people in the faith. And they were under the message of grace. That was the first message they received. And remember, we told you in the past that grace is not deeper truth. Grace is something people should be learning right from from day one. You should learn that salvation is by grace, and that grace saves you, and that is a permanent condition. And so a lot of course, we had other church experiences in our youth, and we didn't learn that until later. When I first became a Christian, I learned that you're saved by grace, and that grace means works. They translated the word grace into works, because unless you did certain things and maintained a certain level of behavior, unless you fulfilled certain responsibilities, then you were not considered saved anymore. So it was a salvation by works. It turned out to be bad news if you didn't have a very good system of self-discipline. If you weren't a very disciplined person, then it was very bad news for you, because you were unable to live up to the standards that they would present. And then you discovered, as you went through the years, that the standards changed. And then at times there was even a double standard, one for them and one for you. And so it was a very confusing time, and then you learned grace after that. After multiple failures, you finally hooked into grace somehow, some way. God was faithful to teach it and bring the message to you, and you learned it, and you thought it was the deeper life, the deeper truth, but it really should be the first thing people learn. It should be the ABCs of Christianity. It should be the very most basic thing they learn is the grace of God. And that's what he said. It was the privilege of the Colossian church under Epaphras, their pastor-teacher, that they learned the grace of God. They received grace orientation, we call it, orientated to the grace of God, so they could think with grace. That's basic Christianity. And as a result, they were fruitful. They were fruitful on the inside. Love, joy, peace, and all of the other ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit was being produced in them, which means the result of that was being worked out of them towards other people. So they were a fruitful people, and we know that the devil persecutes and attacks fruitful people. If you don't want to be attacked by the devil, just don't be fruitful. Just be a backslidden, just don't do anything about your faith. Don't go forward, and so forth. And the devil will leave you alone. But if you're going to go on with God, if you're going to follow the Lord, then you're going to be a fruitful believer, then the devil will attack you. And that's 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Persecution always comes upon those that live godly, that walk with God. So this congregation was invaded, we learned, by the Judaizers and also the Gnostics, two different groups with two different belief systems, and they were coming into Christianity. We told you last week the Judaizers taught that, especially circumcision, that without the law you could not be saved. They were the remnant Jews from Jerusalem who followed Paul around and tried to undo the things that he taught. So they were Judaizers. They were teaching the law in order for salvation to take place, especially Acts 15:1, unless you're circumcised, you cannot be saved. So that was one of the main points, but they had others. Then the Gnostics were the mystics of the faith, and the mystics of the faith were those who believed that that they needed to have knowledge, that knowledge was something that you gained through rituals, that you went through certain ceremonies, rituals, something like the Masons are or were, where they had all of these secret things that you would be taught and be told, and as you learn those secret things, you'd move up in degrees, and the higher your degree, the closer you were to God and so forth. It was kind of like that. There was this salvation through knowledge, and that knowledge came only through rituals and ceremonies that you had to perform that were secret. And so salvation through knowledge and then salvation through works. Both of those groups were finding their way into the Colossian church and confusing many, many, many people. So that's their situation. Now, Paul said that they started out really well under the ministry of Epaphras, who taught them the grace of God. They were fruitful. They were growing. They were doing well. And then in verse 9, we pick it up. Paul says this. He says, "For this reason, because you had heard the grace of God in truth, because you were doing well, for this reason, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that's the, since the day Paul heard about this new church, remember he didn't plant it, he didn't start it, Epaphras did, but since the day he heard about it, and he heard that there was a new church work that started in Colossae, and that it was doing well, it was under the grace ministry, and Epaphras was doing a good job, and people were coming, and since the day he heard of it, he put it on his prayer list. He put it on the prayer list, and his prayer for them was that they may advance into maturity. That's his prayer for this church, that they would advance, that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would move along and mature as a group of believers. When Paul prayed, and we have several prayers in the New Testament that Paul prayed, when Paul prayed, he prioritized spiritual needs above material needs. He prioritized the spiritual needs above the material needs. He didn't pray that Gaius in Rome would get a new hibachi this month, and that Jason would find a new wheel for his chariot that he lost. And he didn't pray for the material things, the little details of life, which is fine to pray for, but that wasn't the focus of his prayer life. His prayer life was mainly focused on their spiritual needs, knowing that if they would seek the kingdom of heaven, that these things would be added to them anyways. So he was very, very much involved in the spiritual needs of people rather than the material needs of people. He's asked them, he said that you'll be filled with knowledge, and that knowledge is epinosis, E-P-I-K-N-G-N-O-S-I-S, epinosis, and it's a word commonly used by the Gnostic group in this church, as those levels or degrees of understanding that you receive through ceremony. So when he mentions words like this, he's kind of doing an in-your-face with these people. So, but this word epinosis, defined for us, means that this is not just intellectual knowledge, or not just academic knowledge, but this is influential knowledge. It's a knowledge that influences how you live. Or we call it sometimes in our ministry, we call it experiential knowledge. But it's knowledge that influences how I live my life. So it's receiving knowledge that does something to me, causes me to live differently. It's not just intellectual. It's not just academic. It's not just having information, but it's having understanding and wisdom and all of it going together to produce a change in my life. It's knowledge that changes me. Who's got that radio show called Truths That Transform or something like that? That's the idea. This is truth that transforms. It's information that has an effect upon your life. And so his prayer for them is that this kind of knowledge would be what they possessed. They would possess knowledge that would influence them to live their lives differently than they had in the past. Not just to have a lot of Bible information while you go on living your life the same way you always did, but to have information that would be life-changing. That's epinosis. So it's a great word. And since the day Paul heard of the new church, he prayed that they would be filled with this epinosis, that they would have a life-changing experience as they grew in knowledge as well as grace, grace and knowledge of the Word of God. So knowledge is epinosis. And he wanted them to be filled with it, pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O, pleroo, a word that's going to come up frequently in the book of Colossians. He wanted them to be filled with it. Which meant that the filling of it means that this would be operational in their lives. They went beyond just the intellectual, as we said, in the academic. And so this was very important that they would be filled with knowledge that would change their lives. And in order for that to happen, and we heard Monday night in our class, which was 2 days ago, in our Bible school class, we heard that Monday night that one of the important ingredients in having life-changing words come into your life is that you have humility. There are a great many people that can sit in a church and hear messages for years and never be changed by it. They gain academic understanding or academic, they learn Bible facts, they learn Bible stories. This happens, I think, a lot of times in Sunday school. They get taught stories. They know all about the stories. They know about David and Goliath. They know about Noah, and they know about all the Bible stories, but the information doesn't change the kids' lives. They're just sitting in Sunday school waiting for the moment they turn 18 and they can bust through that door and go out on their own and do their own thing. It's not life-changing words that they've heard because there's a lack of humility. Humility, that's why he said a broken and contrite heart he desires.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Hello, this is David Wilbur, a professional insurance agent right here on the Treasure Coast for more than 30 years and partner in InsurePro Insurance Agency located in St. Lucie West.